Hello and welcome to ADHD Mums. This is your 10-minute reset for the week. This episode is, no, I can't meditate. I'm too busy disassociating. Now, if you've ever sat down to meditate and instead of peace, you've just felt panic, if closing your eyes makes your skin crawl or silence feels like something's going wrong and you're panicking, this may be a really good episode for you to listen to. You may be disassociating, and I want to do this episode because I've noticed on social media there's a lot of videos coming out around disassociating, but yet I wonder if people really know what it is. And what it is that your body can be doing exactly what it was trained to do when rest felt unsafe. And it isn't necessarily a mindset issue, like you've just got to attempt to meditate, you've just got to concentrate more, you've got to try harder. It's not necessarily a mindset issue in terms of meditating or yoga or relaxing. It's not necessarily resistance. It can be your nervous system responding to threat, and it can be like a survival piece. So many neurodivergent women I hear say, I should meditate, I should slow down, I should be able to be present, but they can't. Then get angry with themselves for failing to relax and failing to meditate and failing to do yoga as if it was like something that they had to achieve. You may not be failing at mindfulness, but your nervous system might be stuck in like a threat mode. And stillness may be something that used to come before something bad happened. So for example, if a meditation app says, just breathe, your body may think, last time I just slowed down and breathed, something really bad happened. You may think to yourself, last time I sat down and had a cup of tea, all of the housework and all of the stuff I had to do piled up and I forgot about something major. I can't stop the productivity for a second because too much will build up and I'll be under too much pressure. I have to keep moving. You may have beliefs around that, that is to do with your upbringing or your experience of being a mother, and that may be how you survive. Disassociation is really a survival response, and it's not just daydreaming or it's not just spacing out for a moment. And it's almost used in a casual setting nowadays, which is why I wanted to bring it up, because social media says, I was just disassociating when my phone rang. And I'm like, wow, do these people know what disassociating even is? So disassociating is really a neurological safety mechanism. It can be an escape hatch for your nervous system, particularly when a situation is feeling overwhelming or it's too hard, too much to stay present. It can feel confronting. So some people use this as a survival response and some people don't. So what is happening in the brain if you're disassociating is that your brain can perceive stress or threat and it goes into those four Fs, fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. Or if those don't work and they don't even feel safe, it does something else, and that is disconnect. The prefrontal cortex, which is your thinking brain, can go offline. Your limbic system, which is your emotion center, can actually dim down, and your body and your brain physiologically pull back from reality to protect you by making you feel less seen. A lot of people talk about this in trauma. I disassociated. It's not a conscious decision. It's a neurological shutdown. And it really says at its heart is being here is too much. Let's not be here. So what does it feel like? How do you know if you're disassociating? A lot of people say it feels like you're floating above your body. It feels like the world is a bit muted, blurry, far away. You could feel like time has vanished. You could lose time. You could feel that you're watching yourself from the outside. A lot of people have listened to those, the true crime, when the person says, I didn't see myself murder somebody. I was watching them from a distance. You can also feel like you were performing your life, but you weren't really inside it. I've heard someone talk about it like being at a party, but through a window. So you're there, you can see it, but you're disconnected. However, you may only realize that you've been disassociating when you actually drop back in. When you drop back in after disassociating, you can feel like a crash of emotion, exhausting, panic, because it's kind of like if you're watching the party from the window and then you just dropped into the party in the center of it, you're like, whoa. There's been no gear up to walking inside the party, taking the drink, seeing the people. You're just right in the middle of the dance floor straight up. So it can feel really jarring if you come back in from a disassociation. So what does it look like in kids? Kids will disassociate, that's for sure. Neurodivergent children, particularly at school, a lot of teachers don't know what a disassociated child looks like. Now, it can be really labelled as like zoning out, not paying attention, being lazy, being in their own world. That may have been said about you when you're at school, or it might have been said about your own child. You might be looking at a child that stares at you while you're speaking, but doesn't respond. Maybe a child that goes limp, they're emotionally flat during like a conflict. Maybe you're trying to talk to them about something, they're like not there. You may have a child that's like a robot. They're like so compliant. You just tell them, they nod blankly, or they could be like eerily still. Or your child could be completely numb and then suddenly they erupt and they've just come back in. At school, a lot of people will talk about refusing to participate, non-participation, daydreaming. So at home, it might look like your child's ignoring you, but inside the nervous system of anybody who's disassociated, it's like a big red button of too much and they just press it like a buzzer and they're out. Not everybody does this. This is a particular response that some people do and some people don't. But it's definitely not voluntary. So when you see social media like, I just disassociated, that could have happened, but it's unconscious. So for example, let's talk about real life. I don't know if you've ever been to a yoga class or a meditation where they often talk about letting go. They might talk about just be still. And maybe you're somebody who's tried to meditate, the dog started barking, the child was in the next room crashing Lego at the wall, and your brain is not quiet. Maybe it's like sprinting. You may be thinking about emails that you didn't reply to, something that your child's teacher said last week, something that was emotionally neglectful to a friend back in 2014. And then the voice said, just let go. I mean, I actually laugh when people say just let go, because I've stripped it right back and I feel like if you can let go, you really have to have an experience of being held. So they talk about holding it all, feeling held and then letting go. I don't really connect to having an experience of being held. Like I've always been the one holding things, holding the house, the kids, the calendar, the feeling, the work, the stress, the load. So for me, when it's letting go, I feel like to who? Letting go like of all the things, because there's no safety net. There's nothing to let go to. And for me, that's a real block of letting go because I don't feel like I can let go because there's nothing, there's no net to let it go to. So when people talk about letting go, it sounds really simple and it sounds, but it actually requires a feeling of being safe enough to stop controlling and hanging on to. A lot of us late diagnosed neurodivergent women are also high responsibility, high functioning women, and safety hasn't always existed. Letting go isn't just relaxing, and allowing your guard down mentally, emotionally, physically doesn't feel possible. So if you've always been the one that keeps things running, you've learnt that being calm leads to being blindsided, or you forget something, you've got to stay on. Maybe you survived a lot of near misses with your kids and you don't feel like you can switch off. Or maybe you switched off one time and something nearly happened to them and you don't feel like you could be not on for a second. Stillness might not feel safe. It can feel exposed, like dropping the ball, dropping the armor. There's no one there to catch you. Particularly if you're a single mom, I can't even imagine how that would feel. So what happens if you can't let go? Your body can really stay braced, your brain can keep scanning, and your nervous system can really interpret calm as like unfamiliar or unsafe. And so if someone says, just let go, I suppose what they really mean is stop gripping so tightly. That's something that I can at least think about as a possibility. But for my body, grip is survival, and I have to keep that uptight, upright, clenching on for dear life that has held me together. So just releasing it because someone said so doesn't always feel like I can do it. And it feels like dangerous to do that. So sometimes when you're in that place, your body, your mind can disassociate unconsciously instead. So it can be about what your body remembers. And that's from the book, The Body Keeps Score, where disassociation is a state where your body keeps functioning, but your mind is offline. So it can protect, be strategic or automatic, and you can learn to disconnect to cope with that. A child could do that because of an overstimulated classroom, unpredictable parents, masking, exhaustion can disassociate people. Even, to be honest, like the chronic daily invalidation and the experience of being gaslit for neurodivergent women can actually lead to disassociation. Or if you're chronically dysregulated, meditation can actually expose disassociation rather than actually soothe you. So let's talk about what we can do. One, if you do choose to meditate, you may have to regulate first. It's going to be really difficult for you to let go and drop into stillness if you actually don't feel safe and your nervous system is on. You might have to try movement first. You might have a weighted object, sensory toy, that kind of thing. You might have to have sound, music to actually get regulated. Some people can't just sit in a moment of intense emotion and then just meditate. You also may need to reframe the whole thing. Meditation can hold complex emotions if you've struggled to do it in the past. You might want to call it something else, like listen to my body, practice being present, check in for 60 seconds, have a cup of tea by myself, and building those moments slowly. If you notice that you are somebody that disassociates, please don't see that as a failure. It's just information, it's important, and you should record it. And be curious, when do you or your child disassociate? What did you feel before you spaced out? What did your child do? What was the situation? What could have triggered it? Were you alone? Were they alone? Was it a sibling? Who was it? What part of them felt unprotected? Depending on your child's age, ask them how it felt. And start to map out your nervous system and prioritize safety. So the first step shouldn't be meditating or doing yoga or doing something that might be out of grasp. You may need to strip it back to just being present in your body. So it's not that you're bad at meditating, and it's not that disassociating is bad. It just means this may be your survival response. And if it is, stillness isn't actually like a failure, but it can be where you were abandoned. So it can feel hard. And coming back to yourself slowly in your own way is a really great first step. So you don't need the 10-minute meditation to prove that you're starting your healing and that you're doing self-care necessarily. But you could start to build in a 5-second pause, a 10-second pause, and start to build those feelings. So that is your quick reset for the week. You have already started just by listening. You are allowed to be a work in progress and you are powerful. I'll be right here next time you need a reset next week. Thank you so much for listening. Please follow me on Spotify or Apple. Leave me a review. I read them all. I love them. Please share this with a friend or join the Facebook community and share your experience. Thank you so much for listening. Until next week.